Why not? This afternoon, we're continuing our series thinking about worship and witness, the basics of church life. And today we're asking the question, why do we sing together? Why is that a good thing to do? Why is it something we do when we gather? Normally we start our time by singing together. We're not actually going to do that today because we're going to kind of backload our singing to the end, partly so that we're kind of singing in the light of things we've heard from God's word about that. So we're just going to dive straight in. Let me do some prayer, and then we'll think about stuff together. Our Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for the wonderful gift of singing. Father, we pray that as we think about it today, our hearts will be thrilled at what you have called us to do and the privilege that it is to do that to such a God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Great, you should have handouts. If you don't have a handout, wave at me, but I think you all do. Three opening notes as we start. That wasn't intentional, actually. I've now just realised that. That wasn't intentional. What's a note? Three opening notes as we start. The first is a big thank you to those who serve us musically and technically, to enable us to sing well together Sunday by Sunday. We're hugely thankful for you for using your gifts in that way. I want to say that publicly because I don't get the chance to do that very often. So thank you for that. That's opening note number one. Opening note number two is this is a wonderful gift that God gives us. And yet, sadly, as you look at the church, particularly in the last 50 years or so, it can actually become quite a divisive thing in churches. There are too many sad stories of churches that often end up either literally splitting or kind of relationally splitting apart over questions of singing. That's a real shame. I want to kind of name that as we start, just because I think it's good to reflect on the fact that that does happen. I'm really thankful that isn't what's going on here, and we pray that will continue to be the case. One quick reflection, I think, on that, then, before we dive into our third note, is to think the Bible calls us to rejoice with those who rejoice. I found it really helpful. Someone kind of applied this to the question of singing in the life of the church recently as I was listening to them, and just a really helpful thought to think, okay, when I'm singing, and maybe it's a song that I don't particularly find that I kind of love, there are other songs I prefer or so forth, to think the person next to me, this may be doing their heart and soul really good in these moments. And rather than to kind of grate against the fact that it's not the song I want and it's the song they want, to rejoice with them in their rejoicing. That's just a really helpful way to think about this question of what we sing and what happens when it's not the thing we want to sing. Second note, that was the second opening note. Third opening note, the word worship. So we kind of flagged this up a couple of weeks ago. David really helpfully just talked us through the different ways that word is used. You'll notice today I don't use that word about singing. That is not because singing to our God isn't worship. It very clearly is. It is part of the worship that we have as we gather, which is a part of a whole life that is called to worship the Lord. It's not that our singing isn't worship. It's that I think sometimes when we describe that as worship, and it implies that other things aren't. So when I don't use that word, if you're the kind of person that notices that kind of thing, just to say that is not because I don't think singing is worship. It really is. But because I think it's probably not the most helpful vocabulary to use. I will use it every now and then. I will slip into it. But as a general rule, I don't. That's not saying you shouldn't. That is just explaining why I do what I do. Those are three opening notes. Now let me get my notes back together, and we can press on. We're going to answer four questions about singing together today. The first is, why do we sing? Can anyone else hear that noise?
Yeah.
Any idea what that is? Great, David's going to go work it out. Great. Nope, all good. It's all good. We're all good to go. Great. First question, why do we sing? And there are three, at least, big reasons why we sing. The first is we sing because of who God is. We sing because of who God is. In Zephaniah chapter 3, God says... Well, Zephaniah says about God, God will rejoice over you with singing. God is a God who sings. We sing because God sings. It's a remarkable thought, isn't it, that God, looks at his people, his broken, wretched people who fail him so often, and as he looks at those people, he sings over them with joy. That is what we're told about our God. He is a God who sings. So first we sing because God is a God who sings, and we are those made in his image, and therefore, if he is a singing God, it's not a surprise that we are a singing people. And so people sing. It is normal, it is natural to sing. We sing because of who God is. We sing because of what God has done. And as we gather as Christians, I think this is the main reason that we sing. You can see that in loads of places through the scriptures. Here's one example, Exodus chapter 15. Let's locate ourselves in the book of Exodus. God's people are slaves in the land of Egypt. God miraculously leads them out. By signs and wonders, by plagues and judgments, he leads his people out from Egypt. He sets them free. And they get to the edge of the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army are chasing them from behind. And so they think, we've been set free, but we're about to go back into slavery or be killed. But God opens up the waters of the Red Sea. He leads his people through the waters. And he closes up the waters behind them on the Egyptian army. God's people are set free. And what is the first thing God's people do in response to God's salvation? Exodus 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. God's people's response to God's work is song. You see it in Exodus 15. If you trace it through, you see it all kinds of places. So in Judges, as God sets his people free and delivers them, sometimes they turn to sing. Or so many of the Psalms, as we read them, are Psalms written in response to God's acts of deliverance. Trace it all the way through the Bible, and the last thing you see in the book of Revelation is a people who are singing about what God has done for them and about how worthy he is. God's people sing because of what God has done. It's one of the things that sets us apart as Christians. If you go into most other religious gatherings on a Sunday, not every single one, but most of them, there won't be singing. There might be some kind of mindless chanting, but the kind of singing that we do, it's pretty rare. Why do Christians sing? Because we have something to sing about. Because we have a God who has acted in history, who has done incredible things, and part of the response to that is to sing. We sing because of who God is. We sing because of what God has done. And thirdly, we sing because of what God commands. So Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, as he writes to the church in Ephesus, says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Paul commands the church in Ephesus to sing. Singing, therefore, isn't optional. We are commanded to sing. But just because we're commanded to doesn't make it a kind of obligation and a duty that's burdensome to us. In fact, nothing God commands is ever like that anyway. Anything God commands of us is for our good. God made us, he knows us, he knows what is best for us, and so singing is good for us. Every single command in the Bible has a reason. It's for our good. And the command to sing is one of those. We sing because we're commanded to, and that is good for us. Those, I think, are three reasons as we start. Why do we sing? Because of who God is. Because of what God has done, particularly in the person of Jesus. And because of what God commands. Why do we sing? Secondly, who? Who do we sing to? And I think the Bible's answer to that question is we sing in three distinct directions. Firstly, we sing to God. Ephesians 5 again. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God for everything. As we sing towards the Lord. We sing to him, we praise him. Praise the Lord because of who he is and what he's done. We sing to our God in response to the way that God has acted towards us. We sing to him with gratitude in our hearts because God has acted to save us. We sing to our God, we give him praise, and that is absolutely right and good. The first direction we sing is upwards. But that's not the only direction we sing. We sing to one another. So the first half of that verse from Ephesians 5, Paul says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Our singing is not just vertical, it is also horizontal. As we sing to our God, it's never less than me communicating with my Lord. As we do that in a gathering, it is more than that. We are singing to one another. We are encouraging one another. We are helping one another. On average Sundays, you join us week by week, you'll almost certainly, and I'm in the same category, have no idea how much the person on the row next to you needs your voice. They may have had an awful week, they may really be struggling, and what they need to hear is that other people believe these things too. I'm sure all of us have felt that. We've come here on a Sunday discouraged, downtrodden, kind of hard-pressed, and the voices of other believers have lifted us and encouraged us. We don't just sing to the Lord, we sing to one another, we address one another, we encourage one another with the truths that we've come to believe. We sing upwards, we sing outwards, but we also sing inwards. Psalm 42, a song inspired by the Lord. The psalmist seems to be struggling. His life is hard in lots of ways. And as he sings, here's the refrain that runs through the psalm. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Do you see who the psalmist addresses as he sings? He addresses his own soul. He is speaking to himself. And that song is a song that is almost certainly then sung in Israel's corporate worship. As we gather together, we're not just to address God and one another, we're also to address our own souls. Do you see the psalmist? He questions his soul. Why are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? He commands his soul, put your hope in God. And he almost kind of ends by promising his soul, I will yet praise God. Sometimes we sing to ourselves. We need to do that. Sometimes we'll be going through the week and life will be really hard. And as we gather on a Sunday, the question we'll be asking is, can I really believe these truths? Can I really live this out? Can I really follow Jesus? Can I really keep going? And sometimes what we need to do is address ourselves in the gathered assembly with other voices surrounding us, reminding ourselves of those wonderful truths. Again, that's not the only thing that's going on, but it is a key part to what we do as we gather. As we sing, we remind ourselves, we speak to our souls, we sing to our souls of what the Lord has done. Three reasons why we sing, three directions in which we sing. If you turn over your pages, there's a couple of questions to kind of discuss in groups. Think particularly about those three directions. Which of those directions do you most normally think about? And that will be different for different ones of you on your tables. Which are you most likely to neglect? And there should have been a third question I've not put on your handouts. It's on the screen though, so we're all good. What difference might it make to remember all three directions? Three questions. Go into groups for 5 minutes or so, discuss those together. We're back on. Great. We're going to get reflections from a couple of groups. Not so much on the first two questions, but particularly on that third question, what were groups discussing? Tell me what you were talking about. I'm all for that, for what it's worth. I know it's culturally very weird, but feel free to look at someone else at church while you sing. Maybe not constantly for the whole song. That might be strange. That would be strange. But look at one another. We're singing, particularly songs that are addressing one another. feel free to turn around. Like, that's helpful. Can be. What else were people discussing? Yeah, and we're going to come on to think about in a minute just actually how do we sing a range of songs that help people engage emotionally wherever they're at in those moments. It's an excellent article, probably the best way to describe it. What do miserable Christians sing? Talk about what do we do, how do we make sure on a Sunday we have songs that miserable Christians can actually sing? Happy to send the link to that if you're interested. Anything else you're discussing? Great. We've answered two questions. We've answered why do we sing? We've answered who do we sing to? Third question, what should we sing? Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And it goes on singing to your heart, to God with gratitude in your hearts. People debate what these three different words mean: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Paul was writing in the first century, so what they definitely don't mean is kind of psalms, songs written pre-1950, and modern songs. Because those aren't categories that Paul works in. It's quite tempting to read that on because it almost works quite neatly for how our world is. That's clearly not the three categories Paul is working in. That doesn't mean we shouldn't sing all those kinds of things. It's just that's not what Paul means. All three of those words are used in various places to talk about the Psalms. So it may well be that what Paul is saying, and some people will argue this, is he's saying sing Psalms, Psalms, and some more Psalms. I don't think that... Even if that is quite what he's saying, I don't think that it means we need to sing psalms only, and I'm not convinced that is actually what he's saying either. One clear implication of these verses is we are to sing psalms or songs based on the psalms. Songs either kind of taking the psalms and putting them into kind of meter and so forth so that we can sing them. And so we have songs that do that. Or songs that kind of take a psalm and kind of reflect it through the new covenant and help us to sing those songs in the light of Jesus. That is good to do. And we want to constantly be thinking, how do we do that? I'm not sure if, again, this is exactly what Paul is saying here, but I think as you read this verse, he talks about three different types of song. But then also as you look at the Psalter as a whole, one thing that's really clear as you look at the songs that are written in Scripture and spoken about in Scripture is we should sing songs that engage the full range of who God is and what he's done. You go and read the Psalms, they will speak about a vast breadth of God's character traits. They will speak about his love, his goodness, his holiness, his wrath. They will speak about him as a rock and a shepherd, and on we could go. We are to sing about the vast breadth of what God has revealed about who he is. We are to sing about what God has done. We've seen that we sing in response to what God has done for us, so we sing back to him, rehearsing those truths, those glorious truths of what he has done for us. And to state the obvious, we don't try and do all of that in every single song that we sing, because they would take a really long time. But as we sing, we want to be making sure that the song list from which we sing, the group of songs that we sing Sunday by Sunday, are reflecting accurately who our God is, so that we don't end up with people coming Sunday by Sunday and singing songs every week just about God's love and never thinking about his holiness or on and on. We could do those kind of things. We are to sing songs that engage with the full range of who God reveals himself to be and what God has done for us. And we are to sing songs that engage with the full range of emotional responses. We are to sing songs that help us in grief, that help us to lament, that help us to praise, that help us to rejoice, that help us to trust, that help us to put our hope in God. And again, we can add more to that list. We are to sing a breadth of songs that enable us to express all God has done for us and all the emotional responses that go back to him. And most clearly of all from Colossians 3, we are to sing songs that enable the message of Christ to dwell richly amongst us. We are not to sing songs that are empty of the message of Christ, the good news that we believe, that the gospel of our Lord Jesus. We are not to sing songs that don't speak about God and who he is and what he's done. We don't gather to sing Taylor Swift. Sorry, girls. But there's a reason for that. Because we're singing so that the message of Christ may dwell richly among us. As we think about what songs to sing, that has to be the key priority. They have to be songs that help the message of Christ to dwell richly amongst us. Bob Coughlin's written a book called Worship Matters, thinking through all kinds of areas of church music, and he has this line. He says, truth transcends tunes. I think that's really helpful. Truth transcends tunes. That is, however good the tunes are, if the truths are not good, we shouldn't be singing them. But we need to not take that argument to the extreme and say it doesn't matter how bad the tunes are as long as the truth is good. Because tunes also matter. Singing is meant to make the message of Christ dwell among us richly. And part of that, I think, is the fact that songs are memorable. They stick. When good words are put to a good tune, that sticks. That stays with us. And so it's not just about what's the songs with the best truths. It doesn't matter about the words. It doesn't matter about the music. We need to sing songs that engage us, that stick with us, because they are written well. The music is written well. Music matters. So that the word of Christ, the message of Christ, may dwell richly among us. We want good lyrics to good tunes that enable us, as we gather, to have the word of Christ dwelling richly among us. And that's what we're constantly, hopefully, Sunday by Sunday doing. And it's what I see as we sing God's words to him, truths about him, to him, to one another, and to ourselves. That is aiding the message of Christ dwelling richly among us. That's what should we sing. Fourth question. What happens when we sing? And at this point, I recognize there is so much more I could say than we've got time to say. This could be sessions and sessions in its own right. But as I've pondered this week, I think the two things we're going to talk about are, if not the two most important things, two of the most important things as to what's going on when we're singing, excepting the fact we've already talked about praising the Lord. Okay, so we've already talked about that, which is why we're not going there again. Obviously, what happens when we sing is we praise the Lord. But here are two other things that I think are particularly significant in singing. The first is we excite and express our emotional response to the message of Christ. We excite and express our emotional response to the message of Christ. And that is a good thing. It is good to engage our emotions. Quick caveat to say, what that doesn't mean is that singing is like the emotional bit of church and the rest of a church service is meant to just feed my head and nothing else. We need to push against that kind of idea that sometimes is out there, that there's kind of the stuff that's for the head and then the singing that's for the heart. No, all of our church services ought to be to the heart. As we preach to you guys week by week, we are hoping to thrill your hearts with what we're saying, not just adding information to your heads. Think about it for a moment. There's one case in the Bible where someone gets heartburn, but not the medical type of heartburn. On the road to Emmaus, did our hearts not burn within us when Jesus spoke the word of God to them, when he showed them from Moses and all the prophets all the things concerning himself? It didn't say their minds filled, it said their hearts burn. So as we speak God's word, as we preach, as we hear preaching, that should affect our hearts as well. Paul prays with joy for the Philippians. So all of our church services ought to engage the emotions, but that does happen in a distinct and particular way, I think, when we sing. Music is a wonderful gift from God that enables us to excite and express our emotional response to the message of Christ. Those verbs come from Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards is a 17th, 18th century American, maybe 19th, a while ago. Jonathan Edwards was part of the American Revival, and he was speaking into a context where loads of people had become Christians, and that led to a kind of outpouring of emotion. And he had some people saying, it's all just emotion, no one's really turning to the Lord. and others saying they are turning to the Lord, and this kind of emotional response is inappropriate. And Jonathan Edwards writes a book, a treatise in response to that called The Religious Affections. Well, he is answering the question, what is a kind of right emotional response to the Lord? He doesn't use the word emotion. He uses the word affection as a kind of deeply held thing, not a kind of passing emotion. The emotions come and go, don't they? But as he's talking about deep, lasting affections, he says singing, singing praise to God, seems to have been appointed holy to excite and express religious affections. We're going to work through that phrase just briefly. Singing praise to God, we've thought about. That's what we do as we sing. I'd quibble slightly on the word holy, in that I think, as we're about to see, there are other things that go on as we sing. But I think it's probably mainly. Singing has been appointed to excite and express religious affections. Exciting our religious affections, that is kind of stirring them up. It's not creating them as if they weren't there before, but it is helping those kind of deep sense of joy that we have in the Lord to kind of come to the surface in an emotional and an affected kind of way. He talks somewhere else about people being affected by nothing but truth. It is as they hear the truth that beds into their hearts. As they sing that truth back to God, it stirs up these affections in them. It is right that as we sing, our emotions are excited, we are brought up. Singing is to excite our emotional response. But singing also helps us to express our emotional response. I don't know if you ever experienced that thing where you want to praise the Lord, but you don't quite have the words to express it, and all of a sudden song lyrics come into your head. Or you're just thrilled by what the Lord has done for you, and singing becomes a really great tool to help you to do that. Singing praises to God has been appointed to help us to express how we feel to the Lord. People who are gifted to write words that capture both the beautiful truths of the gospel and the right emotional responses to them. Singing is given to help us to express our affections, our deep, long-lasting affections towards the Lord because of what he has done for us. And music is a wonderful aid to do that. It's not that music is the kind of source that drums up these emotions that aren't there otherwise. We don't want to kind of whip up a frenzy of emotion and then leave and they all disappear. But it is a right way of bringing up the right emotional responses to what the Lord has done in us and through us and for us. And so as we sing, don't be concerned, don't be kind of put off, don't be scared to think about what we're singing. Think, who are we singing to? What are we singing about? Because we are ultimately affected by the truth. But don't be scared to feel. Feeling is good. Emotions are good and God-given. It is right that as we sing, we are emotionally responding to the Lord. But that will look different for each of us. So we need to not look at someone else and go, well, they're clearly emotionally engaged because their body is in a certain posture or so forth. Nor are we to look at someone who's very kind of rigid and go, well, they must not be engaging because we don't know what's going on internally. But internally, each of us ought to be emotionally engaging with what the Lord is teaching us and saying to us through those songs. We ought to have our religious affections excited and we ought to be expressing them. So please, as we sing Sunday by Sunday, don't go into autopilot mode. It's really easy to do when you already know all the words. It's really easy to go, well, I know what this song says. I can basically sing it without really thinking about it, without really engaging with it in any meaningful way. Please don't do that. It's really easy to do. I've done it. I've been there. We need to work hard at engaging our minds and our hearts with what we're singing, because that is how singing will be that wonderful gift to us. Ultimately, that's a work of the Spirit, isn't it? So we need to pray that God would help us to engage as we sing. That he would help those truths to sink down deep into us, that they would then affect us, that we would then sing them back to God with right emotion. As we sing, we excite and express our emotional response to the message of Christ. Secondly, we express and foster our unity as a church. If you step back for a moment and think about what happens on a Sunday morning as we sing, it is quite a remarkable thing, really, isn't it? You have a room full of people from different backgrounds, different ages, different countries, with different interests, different hobbies, different professions. And they're all singing the same thing, and not in a kind of cultish way, but because they actually believe them. It is a remarkable thing to come in on a Sunday and think, I am standing with a group of people who believe the same things that I believe. And that helps me to love them better, to remember that I am one with them. As we sing together, as we with one collective voice sing to the Lord, to one another, and to ourselves, that is teaching us and reminding us that we are together in this, that we're not alone, that we don't live the Christian life by ourselves. It helps us to be reminded of our unity as a church. As on a Sunday we sing expressing our dependence on God, we are expressing our dependence on the same God as the person next to us, and the person next to them, and the person behind them, and the person on the other side of the building. And as we remember that, it reminds us we're in this together. As we express joy in our Saviour, we are also hearing others express their joy in the same Saviour. And it reminds us that we're together in this. We're not meant to be alone. We've been given church families, and we together as a church family stand on these glorious truths. We were just not made to sing alone. That isn't to say singing alone isn't also good. Okay, so that there are real benefits to, in your kitchen as you're washing up, singing songs to the Lord, or on your drive, or whatever it may be. But we weren't made to solely sing alone. I don't know how you found singing during lockdown. I really struggled with it. Like, the thought of kind of in my living room just singing to a screen, and I've got an awful voice, you all know that. That makes it harder. I get drowned out if enough other people are in the room. In my living room, I can't get drowned out. But it was hard. It didn't feel right. Why did it not feel right? Because we're meant to sing together as we gather. We're not isolated individuals as we gather. We're a church together, united by the same glorious truths. And the main voice, therefore, the main instrument, is the congregation. I'm really thankful that the music team believe that and want to work really hard to enable us to sing well together. It is the congregation that is the main instrument. The other instruments are so helpful to enable us to sing well. But ultimately, it is our voices that are the main instrument to the Lord as we gather. We are singing to one another, to him, and to ourselves. As we sing, we're exciting and expressing our religious affections. And we are fostering and expressing and fostering our unity as a church. I'm going to pause there. Any questions on anything, either that I've said or the thing you wish I'd answered that I haven't yet talked about? Any questions people have? We're going to discussion groups. Right. If they occur to you, feel free to ask them in a little bit. Let's go through into discussion now. Singing is a wonderful gift from the Lord. Three questions that we've now had for 3 weeks running. We probably won't have these three questions next week as well. But I think they are just helpful questions as we work through this series together. From what we've seen today, what does that encourage us to pray? How can we best prepare for Sundays? How can we best engage on Sundays? Turn in your groups, discuss those for 5 minutes or so.
Great. I'm going to cut into discussions there, but why don't we share things we were seeing, things we were reflecting on as to how we can prepare, engage, pray. Great. Yeah, explain that to us, Jenny. Great. Other reflections? Yeah. Yeah. It's not just because I've stated words I've taught, although that is some sense true. We are modelling responses. What else? You're all talking, so I know you've got things to say. Great. Maybe one more comment. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right, isn't it? I've been rebuked this week as I've been prepping to think, I don't think I pray enough for our times of singing. I think I pray for the bit of the service that I have something to do with, or more to do with, and I don't think I spend enough time actually, Lord, help us to sing to you, help us to engage our hearts. So that's one thing I've learned since I've been prepping. We're going to spend the rest of our time singing. We're going to sing kind of three songs in a block. And the hope is that those three songs, they will pick up different of the things we talked about. They'll sing in different directions. They'll be at different tempos to help us to engage different parts of our emotional range. We'll start by reflecting on who Jesus is. Jesus is strong and kind. We're going to then move on to singing of the effect that has on our souls, that means that it is well with our soul because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And then we're going to kind of close by singing, Your glorious cause, O God, engages our hearts, kind of driving us outwards as we head out this week to love and serve the Lord. Let's stand and sing together.